Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables. Come to you each and every week, teaching you truth, justice, and the values of what the United States of America has traditionally stood for, juxtaposed, which it means side by side, with the progressive nonsense that we are being force-fed because there are 25 crazy people running on the Democratic side for president of the United States. So here we are, a beacon of light in a black hole of darkness. Richard, how are you today?
I'm deplorably happy.
We are thrilled for that. Boy, it just never ends, does it? I remember, I think, you know, before you were doing this show with me, I've been doing it, and it's been 10 years. I mean, it's, you know, lasted a good while longer than most of my marriages.
That definitely
I remember
puts
thinking
category all by itself.
Yeah, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? And I thought, well, you know, I don't know that we'll have that much to talk about after whatever election it was at the time. Oh, my goodness, it never stops. It never ends. And it's just one thing after the other, and the insanity continues. But now, before we get into some of the domestic political things, I want to bring up what is happening in the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, and the eastern part of the Middle East, namely Iran. Here's the thing, and you know, when I hear all of the commentators talk about it, they talk about, you know, the crippling sanctions that Trump has put on them, and all of the other things, and it's kind of like the you know, well, you know, this is going to force them to do this, this, and this. I don't know, and let me tell you why I don't think that's – I know it's not going to happen. That's not going to force them to capitulate. The reason why is they have a messianic view of history and of Iran's role in history. Now, when I say messianic, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I'm talking about messianic in the sense of a savior concept. Their idea of a savior concept is the nation of Iran itself, which is creating or trying to create what they are calling the Crescent Caliphate. Now, this Crescent Caliphate is essentially in Islam the comparison and equal to the millennial kingdom of Christ in the New Testament. So what they consider themselves to be is a martyr, and we know that Muslims love to be martyrs. If they think that it's going to get them 72 virgins, they're willing to strap a bomb on and blow themselves to pieces for it, and they have repeatedly done so and shown that they will sacrifice themselves for what they consider to be their higher cause. They believe it is their destiny through martyrdom to usher in this what they call the 13th Caliphate, and it would essentially be Iran, Iraq, Syria, and the Levant. And the Levant is Israel and Palestine, the whole, all of it. So that's why, that's even why they call it, it's the United States putting sanctions might cause a lot of trouble, but it is not going to keep, it's not going to dissuade these mullahs and the Ayatollah from trying to perfect a nuclear weapon, which, by the way, not only did Hillary give them the uranium for with her deal through Russia that got it to them, but also our good friend John Kerry is giving them counsel against the President of the United States and our strike force, which is in the Persian Gulf, and giving aid and comfort to the enemy when there is a conflict. There used to be a word for it. It was called treason. I believe that it is still an accurate word, although it doesn't seem to apply to people who are treasonous, just to Donald Trump, who is anything but. Anyway, I just wanted to just kind of get that out there to begin with, because I think that we have to talk about this.
This could escalate quickly to you.
How do we take care of this? What can we do long term? The answer is to show people the error of their ways with Islam. But boy, that's a tough sell, because Muslims are fully committed to their view of history. Today, when I was down at Peachtree Battle Shopping Center, which is one just, you know, very close to where I live, and you've been there, I saw two women get out of a car with three or four little kids, and they had burqas on. Head to toe, black burqas. First time I have seen that in the deep south, Atlanta, Georgia, but it was there. I passed one of the women, and I said, hello, and she said, hi, how are you? And it was clear to me that she was not a foreigner. These were just black women in burqas who had converted to Islam in among the black community, and that's kind of a scary thing as a potential.
Yeah.
Not well, good. So we've got the Iranians who are have said that they're going to start enriching uranium, which they've been doing anyway, and we know it, and have them attacking tankers and taking shots at American drones. I'm thinking that their next move is going to be to hit an American target.
In this country, you mean? In this country, or are
no,
you
not
saying
in
like
country.
An American ship?
Yes, an American ship, or maybe something that's in Iraq, an outpost, something. And I know the pressure on them is pretty severe.
From the sanctions?
I think that because of the sanctions.
Yeah.
And the only people who are with us are the British. God love them. They're always with us. You know, they see things for what they are rather than what they want them to be. Other European nations want to continue to do business with us and with Iraq. And I can assure you that Donald Trump is not going to allow that to happen. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, no, he's been pretty steadfast in what he has told them and what he's going to do. Now, I heard that this whole thing with the oil barges, and obviously one of them was a Japanese one, and wasn't the Japanese somebody was over in Iraq or one of the countries over there, so it was
in Iran.
Yeah,
he
was in Iran.
Abi visiting the Ayatollah. This is pretty amazing. And so, go ahead, finish.
Well, no, just the fact that, you know, that they, I'm not sure if they shot torpedoes at them or was it just mines that they had put out there that they ran into. But whatever, that
mines, not torpedoes.
It was mines, wasn't it? Yeah, because one of them didn't go off. And
yes.
They saw the Iranians picking it back up like, oh, you know, it's ours, but let's hide it so we don't, whatever. But that somebody was saying, one of the Trump officials saying, we've got some more things that we can ratchet up that is going to really put the squeeze on them. So I think that might be the next thing that's going to happen. But I'll tell you right now, though, if they do something to one of our outposts, well, it's not going to take long for what's the USS Abraham Lincoln is over there now. And
yes.
Yeah, you could take care of
the whole
it's
the whole Lincoln strike force. So, I mean, you know, it's an armada.
Yeah, well, there's destroyers. There's probably some light cruisers involved. Yeah, submarines, the whole armada. We know where they're enriching their uranium. And there's some planes, I believe, on the Abraham that could drop a couple of bunker busters, the 20,000 pounders, and pretty much take out whatever it is they think that they're going to do. And that,
well,
you know, that may be a last resort. But... Go ahead.
A 20,000 pound bunker buster bomb isn't enough to take out their hardened facilities for where they're enriching the uranium. This is why they have brought the B-52s over there. A B-52 bomber, which, just by the way, they were making those in the Korean War and right after World War II. So these planes are 65 and 70 years old, honest to God, and they're still using them. But a B-52 Stratofortress is capable of carrying a 50,000-ton bunker-busting bomb. One per plane. They call it the MOAB, M-O-A-B. It's an acronym for Mother of All Bombs.
All bombs.
And
yeah.
If a MOAB is dropped on where they are their hardened facilities, the penetrating power of it will definitely annihilate their entire nuclear program. That's why they're there. I think that this is, I mean, this is serious stuff, Dick, because even, you know, even if you destroy their nuclear capabilities, what about all of the nuclear material that's there that gets into the ground or wherever? The effect of it on the environment in Iran and the whole Middle East and wherever, I mean, it's essentially like another Chernobyl or Three Mile Island incident, or the one that was in Japan. I forgot the name of it. So, I mean, it'd be essentially the fourth one of its kind.
Well,
and you know what?
It will only affect the environment for 100 years. So you got time for us to, you know, smooth it out with them in 100 years.
Well, you know, they talk about, I remember in grade school them talking about the half-life of this and that were so long and that it would be uninhabitable until, you know, the year 2525 or whatever. You know, and that really just isn't true, because if you look at Hiroshima today, it's a vibrant, magnificent city. Nagasaki, too. I mean, they are, you might think that they still look like Detroit, but Detroit just looks like Detroit. Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
You know, but you know why it has prospered
so well?
What I should
add, just so there may be somebody that doesn't know, that's where we dropped the atomic bomb in 1945. Go ahead.
Yeah. But the reason that they are so successful now is because most of the people there have four arms. They can work twice as fast. Don't you know?
Yeah, that's sad. Very clever. Very clever. Well, all right. In all of this, at the same time, Dick, John Kerry, the former Secretary of State, who still has a security clearance.
That I don't understand.
I agree. Is over there giving them advice about how to deal with the President of the United States. Oh, you know how they say, with how to deal with Trump. Okay, Trump just happens to be the President of the United States and the Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces that are in harm's way. The Lincoln Strike Force Group is in harm's way. They're there for, you know, to keep the peace, but they're also there to be the first to keep Iran from doing what they want to do. So, you know, this is a big deal.
He's still over there, though? Yeah. Physically over there?
I don't think so at this point, but he's been there within the last month.
Well, they should
been
just
there numerous, numerous times
that,
this year.
Talk about treason.
Yeah.
God almighty.
Which, by the way, they on TV, on the liberal, you know, and the, you know, the mainstream media, and talk about the President of the United States was treasonous for 2 years. The Mueller report comes out, and it says there's no collusion, there's no evidence that any American, including the president or anybody on his team, did anything where the Russians were concerned with this. I want to ask you a question. How many of the people who called Trump a traitor have apologized for saying that. I mean, that's pretty serious breach of bearing false witness against somebody.
Well,
have
I
you
heard
any of
them
to it?
No. I think there was, I heard today, maybe one Democrat that saying, you know, this whole impeachment thing is ridiculous, but not when it comes to the one. Of course, those are the same people that said if Trump was elected, they were going to move to Canada, and they're still here. So you get what you pay for with these people.
Well, I think that it's a pretty serious thing that they have levied all of these charges. And the truth of the matter is, in my estimation, they might as well have just found that there was collusion with the Mueller report, because they're still treating this stuff as if it's real.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
They haven't backed off of this at all. You know, you've got Schiff, and you've got Nadler, and you've got Swalwell, and you've, you know, got...
Hey, I like it. I like it. I like that they keep doing it. Because as far as I'm concerned, all they're doing is whipping up the base, the Trump base. And I also am hearing that the independents are saying, you know, like you and I, enough is enough is enough. You know, give it a rest. The guy's doing a great job, and you people, you know, come up with some policy. Is that the only thing that, what's her name, Elizabeth Warren, has got a couple of policies now that she's talking about that has gotten the Democrats to start falling a little more in line with her? Of course, they're more towards the left than they are, you know, the middle as far as the Democrats are concerned. But, you know, so she's taken points away from a lot of the people, Buttigieg and Joe Biden and Sanders have all given up a little bit to her. But she's the only one that's talking other than, you know, impeach 45, impeach 45. That's all you hear some
Waters.
Of these people say. Yeah, she's a real piece of work, that one. Of course, Pelosi isn't too far behind her either. But she, for all intents and purposes, I think she has really lost the ability to be the Speaker of the House. She's just
well,
not
they aren't
there
doing
now.
Anything. They, you know, there is no leadership in the House, essentially at this point. But she is preventing them from pulling this to a vote. And I think the reason that she's doing it, more than anything else, I don't think that it's so much, you know, fear of people like us, as it is fear of what Attorney General Barr is going to pull up. They,
yeah.
If they have a vote, and, you know, all but four or five Democrats vote to impeach Trump, and that one fool Republican, Amon or whatever his name is, and Barr comes out and shows where this was a clear attempt to get rid of a duly elected president through fraud, deceit, abuse of the law, the whole nine. They're the ones that are guilty of obstruction of justice. That if this comes out, and I believe it will, that all of those Democrats, even ones in just absolutely safe districts, are going to have a hard time getting reelected, and this could literally destroy the Democrats in the House of Representatives. I think that she's worried about that, and I think that she's got that it's well founded that she's worried about that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's exactly well founded is very correct. Yeah. You know, I mean, every day there's another little piece to the puzzle. And I mean, this was a big puzzle. But, you know, give Barr credit. He's putting the pieces in, and along with this guy from Connecticut, I can never remember his name,
Durham
is slowly but surely putting all this together. And I heard somebody to say, too, that they're not too sure that the inspector general is going to come up with anything that's of noteworthiness. But I think Barr and that guy is going to definitely put some people.
All right, now tell me, I have not heard this about Horowitz. Where did you hear this? And what are they saying?
This was this morning on Fox News. The guy that comes up from Florida. And I'm trying to think of his name.
Bongino?
Yeah. He said he's hearing inklings. And, of course, he was in Secret Service. So he's hearing inklings that what Horowitz is going to come up with ain't a heck of a lot. So, I mean, let's wait and see. I tend to trust him more than, you know, when they start talking about these polls that have Buttigieg beating Trump, Warren beating Trump, all of them beating Trump and saying, you people are just, you know, now that it's legal, you people are smoking too much of this stuff.
Well, I agree. I mean, is America ready for a 37-year-old who's been a mayor in Indiana, whose claim to fame is that he French kisses his husband on the stage, which frankly is inappropriate. It would be inappropriate for the guy to kiss his own wife on a stage the way the two of them go at it, let alone just like somehow they said, yeah, but he got $7 million. I think that $7 million is from gay people who just want, you know, who are voting with their organs and their cash in the same hand.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
I agree.
This might end the 10-year run.
Yeah.
But because I don't get it. I don't get it. We got a minute and a half. We got a guest. Let's put him on. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air.
Jack, how are you? I was listening at the very end of the show, and this is Mike from New York, and I want to tell you I agree with everything you're saying, and I think that the Democrats, with everything that's going on right now, a lot of even their base, the younger ones, have become jaded. They don't trust any of them. They're turning on their own party. And I think that when Barr's investigation comes out, it's going to make it even worse for the Democrats, and they're going to lose. A lot of people are going to be not happy with the people that they put their trust in. I think it's going to turn on them.
Disenchanted. They're going to be disenchanted, just the way we like
it. Yep, you're right. Yeah.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I appreciate your call, and feel free to call again. We're less than a minute, so I'm going to hang up on you, but
right.
Do call
see
again.
You
thank you for your comment. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, Dick, I agree with this guy. I think that this is just absolute nonsense that there are people out there and that everybody wants all of this absolute insanity. We need to take all the money from white people and give it to black people for reparations. What absolute nonsense. It isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And why should we do it? We're Irish immigrants from after the Civil War, and somehow we're supposed to pay for slavery. Ain't going to happen. Ain't gonna happen. We're not gonna let anybody do it, and they're just they're in a group circle jerk, and producing nothing but their own nonsense. We got to go. Anyway, let me just say, God love you. God bless America. And we will talk to every one of y'all next week. Bye-bye.